Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building an air horn hit that actually works in a jungle or old school DNB arrangement. Because here's the thing, an air horn on its own can be iconic, but it can also be thin, cheesy, or way too obvious if you just drop it into the session and hope for the best. In this lesson, we're going to turn that raw horn stab into something wide, DJ friendly, and arrangement ready. Something that feels rude in the best possible way, but still sits properly with the drums, sub, and res bass. We're aiming for three things at once here. First, a solid mono core so the horn punches through in the center. Second, a stereo halo so it feels big and exciting. And third, a structure that works like a real arrangement tool, not just a random sample effect. So think intro tease, main drop statement, and clean exit. Start by choosing your source. If you already have a horn sample, pick one with attitude. You want something that has a strong mid-range bark and a fast attack. Slight grime is good. Pristine and polite is usually not the move for this style. If you want to build a supporting layer inside Ableton, use Waveatable or Operator. In Waveatable, start with a saw-based sound, keep the unison modest, and shape it with a short amplitude envelope. In Operator, a bright harmonic tone with a little FM can give the horn more bite. The key is quick attack, short decay, no sustain, and a controlled release. We are not trying to replace the sample, we're trying to give it more body and control. Now build a two-layer or even three-layer rack. This is where the advanced workflow starts to make sense. One chain is your core horn. That's the dry, center-focused, punchy layer. Another chain is your width layer. That's where you put delay, chorus, microshift, or other stereo treatment. And if you want, add a third chain for effects tail, like a short reverb or reverse-style ambience. The most important teacher note here is this. Think in layers of function, not just layers of sound. One layer should provide the smack. One should provide the spread. One should provide the event feeling. If a layer is not clearly doing a job, delete it. On the core chain, clean the horn up first. Use EQ8 and high pass it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, depending on the sample. Air horns do not need low-end weight. That job belongs to the kick and sub. Then listen for any honky buildup around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz. If it feels nasal, cut that area a bit. If it gets sharp or painful, look around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz and tame that with a moderate cut. That upper mid control matters a lot in DNB, because the horn has to cut through snare cracks, add energy, and bass harmonics without turning into ear fatigue. You want bold, not painful. Next, add some density before you widen it. A little saturation or bus-style glue helps the horn feel like a proper phrase marker. Drum bus is a great choice if you want a rougher edge. A bit of drive, a tiny touch of crunch, and careful damp can add presence without making it harsh. Saturator is also very useful here. Keep soft clip on. Push the drive a few dB, and don't flatten the transient too much. Glue compressor can work too, but use it gently. You're usually only aiming for a couple dB of gain reduction. The point is to make the hit feel loud and confident without stealing all the peak space from the rest of the track. In a break-heavy jungle tune, that balances everything. Now for width. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They widen the whole horn and suddenly the center disappears, the mono compatibility gets weak, and the hit loses authority. Don't do that. Keep the core layer mostly mono. Utility is your friend here. Set the core width to zero if needed, or keep it firmly anchored in the middle. Then let the width layer do the stereo work. A short delay with slightly different left and right times can be enough. For example, try one side around 10 to 20 milliseconds, and the other around 15 to 30 milliseconds, with low feedback and a modest dry/wet amount. Chorus ensemble can also add spread, but keep it subtle. Shifter can add a rough dubby drift if you want the horn to feel less polished. And a short reverb, filtered so it doesn't cloud the mix, can create a nice halo. A really strong DNB trick is contrast. Keep the center dry and punchy, then let the sides carry a filtered or delayed copy. That often sounds bigger than making everything permanently wide. To bring the horn to life, add movement. Auto pan is a great option on the width layer. You can set it for gentle stereo motion or rhythmic amplitude movement. Keep the amount low, because this is not about making the horn wobble around like a special effect. It's about giving it a little dub system energy, a little human motion. You can also automate filter cutoff, delay feedback, or reverb send. A nice move is to keep the first hit full, and then make the repeats more filtered. That creates a sense of escalation without adding extra notes. In darker DNB, this kind of controlled movement is gold. Now let's talk about structure, because this is where the lesson becomes really DJ friendly. A horn hit should work like a cue. It should tell the listener and the DJ that something is changing. A practical structure is this: use a filtered teaser in the intro, a full wide hit on the drop, and a reduced or more mono safe version on the outro. So maybe the intro version appears every 8 or 16 bars with the filter partially closed. Then the main drop opens the horn fully, with the widest and loudest version. Then the outro or transition version becomes shorter, darker, and easier to mix out. This matters because old school jungle and ragga DNB often rely on clear phrase landmarks. Try placing the horn on the last beat of bar 8 before the drop, then answering it on bar 1 of the drop. That gives the tune a clear, readable structure. It also makes the horn feel intentional, like part of the arrangement language. You can also build call and response by duplicating the horn and pitching the response slightly up or down, even just a semitone or less. That tiny change can make the phrase feel more musical and less repetitive. Another option is a ghost horn layer, a much quieter copy with high pass filtering and a longer reverb, dropped a beat or two after the main stab. That can feel like an echo from the system rather than a second main hit. Now lock the horn into the drum grid. The best placements often happen where the break has space, after a snare, before a fill, or in the gap between ghost notes. If the horn is too long, trim it or gate it a bit. If needed, sidechain it lightly from the drum so it ducks, just enough to stay out of the way. A small timing offset can also help. Duplicate the clip and move the copy slightly later, or give it a touch of swing. That tiny mismatch can add a thicker, more human character, especially when combined with stereo movement. Before you call it done, do a proper harshness check. Air horns can get nasty fast around the upper mids. If it's splatty, pull down the high shelf a little. If a piercing peak shows up around 2.5 to 5 kHz, notch it. If it sounds boxy, reduce 300 to 600 Hz carefully. And please check it in context. Solo is not the full story. Listen with drums. Listen with bass. Check in mono with utility. And turn the playback down low too. A horn that sounds huge at full volume solo can become annoying during a long blend if it doesn't read clearly at normal listening levels. If the horn disappears in mono, your width treatment is probably too heavy. Back off the facey effects and strengthen the center layer. If it dominates the mix, reduce the 1 to 3 kHz area before just lowering the volume. That usually preserves more attitude. Here's a really useful advanced approach: split the horn into dry first, dirty later. Keep the attack clean, then process only the tail with saturation, delay, or bit reduction. That way the hit stays sharp at the front, but the end becomes grimier and more characterful. This is especially good for darker jungle and old-school inspired rollers. Another nice move is to resample the processed horn once you like it. Bounce it to audio, trim the tail, and then treat it like a drum. That makes it easier to chop, arrange, and keep CPU under control. For the practice exercise, build a 16-bar phrase. Use one horn sample and one synth layer. Make a mono core and a stereo width chain. High-pass the horn, add light saturation, and put in a short delay throw only on the last hit of each 8-bar phrase. Place the main horn on bars 7 and 15. Then answer it with a shorter variation on bars 8 and 16. Automate the filter so the intro version stays narrower and the drop version opens fully. Then check the whole thing in mono and in the full mix. The goal is simple: make one horn idea that can live inside a jungle intro and then slam into the drop without needing to change samples every time. So to wrap it up, the big takeaways are these. Build a mono core plus stereo support. Keep the horn focused in the mids. Use saturation, delay, auto pan, reverb, and EQ with intention. And always think about phrase structure, because in DNB, the horn isn't just a sound. It's a signal. It's a cue. It's an arrangement weapon. Get that right, and your air horn stops being a cheesy one-off and starts becoming a proper part of the tune.